Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, March 24th, 2019. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her message this morning is the gift of being thunderstruck. The Psalm of Lament today is Psalm chapter 57. The Old Testament lesson is Job chapter 37, verses 1 through 5.
These words from the book of Job, chapter 37, verses 1 through 5. At this also my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Listen. Listen to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it loose, and his lightning to the corners of the earth. After it, his voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. Here ends the reading. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of wisdom, we seek you this morning. We long to hear your guidance for our lives. Help us to hear what you want to reveal to us this morning, whether it is an easy or a hard message, whether it's a comfort or a challenge, whether it's a gentle reminder or a sharper pinch. Holy Spirit, I pray you might use my words and my preparation to help enlighten your good news and bring it into reality here and now. Amen. This Wednesday night, I asked our youth group about Lent. Like, what do you know about Lent? And I'll have to say I got mostly blank stares. Huh? Oh, wait. Will you give something up? I'm like what? They're like chocolate. Yes, there is a pattern of Lent of giving something up. But there's much more to that. I mean, this whole Lent is our season of 6 weeks in preparation for Easter. And yes, it is traditional that people give something up. But why is that? Why would you give something up during Lent? There really are multiple reasons why. I mean, there's the reason of trying to emulate Jesus. There's the reason of spiritually preparing ourselves. But this morning I want to look at it as a reason of giving something up, of letting go, as a way to enter into the dark woods. I think about letting go because we have these things that we do and we go, I can stop anytime I want. I mean, that's the phrase that we hear from addicts, sometimes done in a defensive manner. Oh, yeah, I can stop anytime I want. But I'm starting this morning with addictions, and not necessarily the big addictions like opioid crisis or recognizing the Narcotics Anonymous groups that meet here frequently. And let me be honest, I'm entering territory that I actually don't know as well myself. And so I'm aware that there are folks in this room who have had to deal with addictions in a much more intense way. And with loved ones who struggle in that way, I want to be able to hear your stories. But I also want you to know this doesn't come out of something I'm as familiar with. Because often when I think about addiction, I immediately go to drugs and alcohol and now opioids. How the desire for those substances becomes this absolute dependence. How the need for the next high takes over and destroys all the other aspects of life. But then I ran across Brené Brown's research, and she broadens the idea of addictions to other areas of life. She describes addiction as this: addiction is the chronic, compulsive numbing and taking the edge off of feelings, especially those feelings that make us feel vulnerable. And She says, yeah, she was an addict, but she never felt at home in those AA groups because she's like, me, I need to take the edge off with queso, 7 hours of Facebook, working too long, and being all up in my family's business. And they don't have groups for that. If we look at the ways that we numb ourselves or we want to just take the edge off of discomfort and pain, yes, there's alcohol, but there's also gambling. There's also shopping. There's also staying busy and bumming around on the internet. Well, if I look at addiction as anything that's chronically and compulsively numbing and taking the edge off feelings, and I go, huh, where are those places that I say, oh, I can stop anytime I want? I'm not so distant from addiction as I want to pretend to be. There are two main ways I like to take the edge off. The first is the keeping busy one, the workaholism. I'll have to admit, I'm now a recovering workaholic. But when I get anxious, my immediate response is to do more, to jump in, to try to stay later, because I think I'll be able to feel happier about myself. But the second thing that's popped up more recently that I use to numb and take the edge off is my iPad games. I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but it's where I'm challenged. It's where I can just like sort of disappear and tune out my family. It's where I can disappear after a stressful day. I like trekking all my dragons in Dragon City and do some words in Wordscapes. And then, of course, there's solitaire. I do the spider solitaire these days. And while I was never a proponent of a television in the bedroom, I now have my iPad right there on my bedside table. And so I can pick it up at 10:30 at night or at 6 o'clock in the morning and just do a little bit. But then I was later than I wanted to be on Wednesday for the read aloud because I got in just one more round. And I'll tell you, this Lent, I did not give up. Last year, I gave up my iPad games for Lent. This year, I actually did not give up my iPad games for Lent. But I added something in. Because if I have all that time to be doing this, I have time to get myself to yoga. And so my challenge this year has been to get to yoga. I don't know what your avoidance of choice is, what you do to take the edge off. Maybe it's a glass of wine at night. Maybe it is being on Facebook. Maybe it's standing in front of the refrigerator or the pantry looking for that little bit of comfort food, that little thing that's just going to make you feel better. Maybe it is staying crazy busy. Now, please don't hear me wrong. I am not advocating for never enjoying a nice glass of Chardonnay. But I speak this aloud to highlight the times when these solutions are really just shadow comforts. It's things that we turn to easily but don't really satisfy. It's sort of like junk food for our soul. I think you know the difference between sitting in front of a screen when it's just like chewing gum for your mind, or enjoying a particularly amusing episode of the Great British Bake Off. There's a difference. I think we know the difference between savoring a bottle of wine with friends and just sort of pouring something and downing it at the end of the last day. And I know there's a difference between me choosing to be on my screen and relaxing for a bit and being on it from 8 p.m. until 11:15 p.m. nonstop. We're talking about walking into the dark woods. And one of the things that folks who look at vulnerability and folks who look at the dark woods have discovered is this, that you We long to numb ourselves and not walk into the dark woods. But the trick is you can't numb your emotions selectively. If you numb the pain, you also numb the joy. If you numb the dark, you also numb the light. Because intense emotions are spiky. They're spiky like pricks of a rose thorn. Yes, so in the dark wood, when there is time of deep despair, there are also those lightning bolts and pricks of joy. And it's just as sharp as any of the dark emotions. And so walking into the dark wood, there's also a gift of joy in the midst of the darkness. The psalm that Carol read today illuminates this human experience. It is the opposite of being numb. I want us to look at it together. This is Psalm 57, and this is a type of psalm that's written as a lament. It starts off crying out, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me." The person who wrote the psalm knows who God is. In verse 2, God is the Most High. God is one who has a purpose. God is the one who saves and rescues. God is steadfast love and faithfulness. But then you get to the complaint part. I lie down among lions that greedily devour human prey. Their teeth are spears and arrows. Their tongues, sharp swords. Notice I lie down. That is present tense. That is right where the psalmist is at that moment. Sure, God's going to do this stuff in the future, but right now, life is painful. Enemies surround me. Their tongues have sharp words, those hurtful, slanderous words. And then if you jump down to verse 6, they're out to get me. They're setting a net for my steps, and my soul was bowed down. The psalmist is discouraged. His or her plans are thwarted. And then there's this funny word, Selah. Do you see that? Selah is this weird word in the Psalms, and although the Psalm scholars don't know exactly what it means, it's either like a pause with maybe like a musical interlude. It may be a time of reflection. It may be a time when something else happens and somebody else is speaking, and then you would come back in. And so right after this part of saying how painful life is, there's this pause. And then coming out of the pause, my soul is steadfast. Present tense. My soul is steadfast. My heart is set steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Okay, I gotta admit that when I was younger, I thought the Psalms were kind of crazy talk. Because how do you flip from the pain and the despair to, yeah, and God is great again? I mean, is the writer being wildly inconsistent or bipolar? How is all this complaining a song of trust? But I think now with more life experience, I can read Psalm 57 not as either a complaint or as a song of trust, but as a both and. There's spiritual wisdom in both being in the dark woods and finding joy in God in the moment. Walter Brueggemann, who's an Old Testament scholar and written about the Psalms, says this: Psalms of lament are an act of bold faith because they insist that the world must be experienced as it really is, and not in some pretend way. And that when we read them in worship, it might evoke the reality for someone who's engaged in self-deception, still imagining and pretending that life stays well ordered, when in fact, life doesn't. And so there is a profession of deep and radical faith for the psalmist who can trust and turn to God in the middle of the struggle, not when it's all over and done with. The trust and faith to find God worthy of praise while standing in the middle of the dark wood. Here's the distinction I want us to make. Sometimes I think when I ask the youth, like, hey, what would you give up? It's like, why would I do that? That stuff makes me happy. But I think the distinction is between happiness and joy. Right? Do you think there's a difference between happiness and joy? The distinction that I go back to is that happiness is connected to circumstance. But joy is tied to spirituality. Because the joy is about finding a bit of the divine, even in the middle of the pain. You've seen the spiritual giants who can do this. The folks who are joyful and thankful while they are in the middle of the dark wood. Sometimes when I go and pray with folks at the hospital or in the middle of a crisis, there are two questions I ask. One is, what do you need from God right now? Not into the future. What do you need right now? And the second is, what are you grateful for? And I tell you, I hear words of faith in hospital rooms, in the midst of a natural disaster, or when someone is a crisis. Because it takes faith to be able to say, I am still grateful in the midst of the dark woods. And so for those of you who are in the midst of the dark woods these days, know that thunder and lightning come in the middle of the dark and stormy times, that flashes of insight and joy and gratitude still occur and do occur in the middle of the struggle. And for anyone here who is witnessing and loving someone who is in the middle of the dark woods, perhaps you can walk alongside them, noticing or asking, is there anything you're grateful for today? And waiting for those surprising words of joy and insight, while acknowledging that the struggle is still there. And lastly, for any of you who long for more of God and who hunger for more of joy, it might start to be then about giving something up for Lent, for letting go of something that numbs you, something that you go to that takes the edge off. For in getting engaged in the realness of life, the real pain of it, and the real joy of it, then we become fully alive. The going without something for a bit sharpens an awareness of what we have. How many of you have heard the Tices didn't have electricity for 3 weeks? 2 weeks had a generator rolling? Donna would put a load into the laundry and all the lights would dim? Wow, that was a struggle. And also, are you grateful for electricity in your home? And some quiet from the generator. Going without something sharpens our awareness of what it is that we have and can be grateful for. And so I do invite you, if you are hungering for more of God, to take on a Lenten discipline. It doesn't have to start exactly on Ash Wednesday. It can start today. And maybe it is chocolate, or maybe it is iPad games. You know what it is for you. You know what you go to avoid being in the reality of life. But when we are in the reality of life, we will also encounter the reality of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.